Hello, welcome to Off Curve. I'm Wicked Good, and I'm talking to you about Hearthstone from the comfort of my streaming lair. It is Thursday, October 22nd, 2020, and it is the day of the big fall reveal. So I am here in the streaming lair. I am actually, this is the beginning of the stream for those of you tuning in live. We're doing a recording live, as I said in the last episode that I'd be doing that, and then we're going to play some of the new game mode, but we have a lot to do and there's a lot to talk about because there were a bunch of announcements today. And we have to talk through everything because there's a lot of things and as usual, I'm not going to talk about a lot of cards in detail just because that's what the card review is for. If you're not new to the show, I do a card review of all of the cards in the set after they've all been revealed. So I'm not going to get too much into cards, though. We're going to talk about a couple because there are a couple that are a little worrisome that I think we need to talk about. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. And also, yeah, a good reminder that the nerfs are live for Constructed. So Evocation is up to 2 mana and Solarian Prime is up to 9 mana. And there's also been some changes to Battlegrounds around parties for players above 10,000 MMR are no longer going to be allowed. And some other changes that if you're a high-level Battlegrounds player, you probably want to pay attention to. I don't really understand the Battlegrounds queuing system because I'm not a high-level Battlegrounds player. But that's something for you to be aware of if you are playing Battlegrounds. You want to check the patch notes. The patch notes will be linked in the show notes at offcurve.com along with this episode. We have to get that. That needs to go. That is not what I want to be showing. That's not good. Oh, there we go. Okay, hang on. So anyway, I'm trying to get the, for those of you who are listening, because I'm probably not going to take time editing this, I'm trying to get the images to agree with me, and they're not going to, so we're just gonna throw that out and we're just gonna talk. So we have a new expansion called Madness of the Darkmoon Fair, and the theme of the expansion was pretty known. It was pretty clear that that's what it was going to be from the beginning, because they've been kind of teasing it this way, and people who are way more into the lore than I am were very in tune with that. It looks like a cool theme. The trailer, if you haven't seen it, you should go watch it. The music is excellent. It's I don't know that it's as well. I'm not as big of a fan of the Rosticons Rumble theme song as most people, but I think it's on that level, I would say. So it's very good, and it's worth watching. They really outdid themselves with this reveal, both with this and the new game mode reveal, but we'll get into that in a minute. It's the theme is pretty cool, and the old gods have taken over Darkmoon Fair and are corrupting people in there. So like, we get a throwback to old gods. If you haven't actually played in old gods, which is very likely because that was 5 years ago now, you get to play with versions of the old gods because all of them are coming back. And I'll talk about those in a little bit more detail in a second. We are getting a new keyword called corrupt, which basically says if you play a card that costs more than this one, then you're basically the card transforms. So the example that they gave is that there's a 5 mana 4/4 beast that has corrupt game +4/+4. So as soon as you play a card that's more than that costs more than that, it becomes a 5 mana 8/8 with rush, by the way, which is pretty good. So like, the base stats are okay. Like a 5 mana 4/4 with rush, you'd play that. Like, we play corrupted why can I not think of the card name? Faceless Corruptor, thank you. So we play that, right? But this becomes a 5 mana 8/8, which you certainly would play with rush. And then there's like Day at the Fair, which is summon 3 Silverhand Recruits for 3 mana as a paladin spell. If it's corrupt, you summon 5. There's a shaman spell called Dunk Tank, which is a 4 mana deal 4 damage, which can go face. And then if it's corrupt, it also deals 2 damage to all enemy minions. So it becomes like a little Starfall with like a quest Starfall. So that's pretty cool. Like, I like the idea of cards that get more powerful as the game goes on, because obviously if you're playing this on curve, it's going to be lower power. If you want to wait a little bit and play something that costs more than it, hold it in your hand and then play that after, then it's actually a lot more powerful. So I think that mechanic is pretty cool. The old gods we need to talk about. So they're all coming back, and some of them are more interesting than others, and they're all neutral legendaries. They all cost 10 mana, just like the original old gods, and they all kind of lead you in different deck building directions. And some of them are pretty cool. Like Nazoth, God of the Deep, has battle cry, resurrect a friendly minion of each minion type. So it's going to... I'm not actually sure how minion type is defined necessarily. It's an interesting idea that it rewards you for like diversifying your deck. So if you have like one of each type, and I'm assuming, Shwell in the chat is saying that assume it's by tribe, and that sounds right to me as well. So like if you diversify enough, then you will get you'll get all of those back. So but that kind of locks you out of doing like minion synergy also, which is pretty interesting. There's Yashiraj, which adds a copy of each corrupted card you play this game to your hand. They cost 0 this turn, so obviously if you're going all in on corrupted, then that's a pretty powerful effect. C'Thun the Shattered is a 10-mana 6/6 that start of the game breaks into pieces. With a battle cry, deal 30 damage randomly split among all enemies. So what happens is that the 4 pieces get shuffled into your deck, and then they all have like they're non-trivial effects too. Like there's I'm opening it up now. There's one that's a 5, they're all 5-mana spells. So one is deal 7 damage randomly split among all enemies. One is deal 3 damage to all minions. One is summon a 6/6 C'Thun's body with taunt. And one is destroy a minion. Right? So those are reasonable effects for 5 mana. But you have to play them all. Then you get the C'Thun shuffled into your deck. And then if you do through all that and your opponent doesn't have a board, then you win. Right? So it's kind of a... Like the C'Thun... Like Mech-C'Thun was like this too, where you had to draw through your whole deck in order to get it to happen. And it's kind of like a cross between like Mech-C'Thun, but without needing to do like an OTK type of combo with it, along with like old school Elise Starseeker, where you had to shuffle where you shuffled the map, and then the map shuffle, or you played Elise, it shuffled the map shuffled the monkey gave you the effect. This is kind of like this too, or Rin the First Disciple is another good example. So that sort of thing. So I like those effects, and that kind of gives you like a control deck some additional, reach at the end, along with giving you an interesting edge in fatigue matchups, because you're adding 4 cards to your deck, or 3 cards to your deck, I guess, because the C'Thun goes away and it gets replaced with these 4 cards. So you're actually adding 3 more cards to your deck, which is relevant for a fatigue matchup. And you can still play it in Highlander decks because they're all different. So I really do like that. Yogg we need to talk about, because Yogg says if you've played 10 spells, spin the wheel of Yogg-Saron. And the wheel of Yogg-Saron has 6 effects on it. 5 of them are 19% likely to happen, and then there's one that's 5%. So you get like fill your hand with random spells that cost 0 this turn, fill the board with random minions that then gives yours rush. Take control of 3 random enemy minions. Cast a random spell for every spell you've cast this game. Targets chosen randomly. So basically the old school Yogg effect. Devouring Hunger, which is destroy all other minions, gain their attack and health. So you basically make a gigantic Yogg. And then for 5% of the time, there's Rod of Roasting, which if you've seen in the single player adventure, says cast Pyroblast randomly until a player dies. And like... I really don't know what to think about this. Because, like, on the one hand, it's a really cool card, and it's going to take some setup, but we know from past experience that playing 10 spells in a game is not hard. It's super not hard right now with Wandmaker and Cobalt Spellkin in every deck. So all these effects are good. You're not going to be able to control which one you get, but they're all powerful and they're all things that you can't really play around. And we already have a bunch of effects like that, that are already kind of making competitive Hearthstone a little bit feels bad. Like we've had championships decided by Puzzle Box Yogg-Saron. So I'm nervous about this. I'm hoping it's not good, but I don't see how it isn't. Like, if you're playing any sort of, like, a Control Priest right now, or you could probably just throw this into a Cyclone Mage, because you're going to play those spells anyway, and we used to play Yogg in Tempo Mage. Like, that was a thing we did. There was a thing called Chinese Tempo Mage way back in the day, where you would run Cabalist Home that would just give you three random mage spells, along with other things, like Forgotten Torch that would throw another torch in your deck, and other things that would give you other spells, and we would just play Yogg at the top end and pray for rain. And I don't see how this doesn't make it into that deck too. Like, yeah, it's 10 mana, but sometimes you need a 10 mana Hail Mary. So I don't know. I really hope the team knows what they're doing. Because, like, normally I'm the one who's saying if the card looks broken, it's probably fair. And this, even knowing that rule, still scares me. So I don't know what to make of this card, but I'm hoping that it's not nearly as good as it seems. But so the other big thing about the set is that it's coming out on November 17th, which is way earlier than we expected. Like, normally it comes out first or second week of December. Now we're getting it before Thanksgiving. So that's pretty good. If you're taking Thanksgiving week off, you're going to have all of Thanksgiving week to play with the new set, which is pretty nice. I think the reason for that is that BlizzCon has gotten moved to, like, the third weekend of February, which is, you know, if they're going to have anything to announce, right, then they need to have the next set queued up for that. So by moving this a month early, then they get that next set on time, and then they can announce that at BlizzCon 4 months later. So that's the new set. We'll be talking a lot more about it as cards get revealed. And that's a good thank you, Matt at Arms. Yeah, there's also a we're getting a mini set in the middle of the expansion. So we're getting 135 cards now, and then we're going to get 35 more cards as a mini set in the middle of the expansion that are just going to get added to packs. So that's pretty cool. A good way to shake up the meta. Presumably this is all tested together, as opposed to some of the things like Doom in the Tombs. And like, as much as I was scared about Galakrond's Awakening, I think it generally worked out okay. So I'm okay with that. So that's a pretty cool way to, both to feel like you can use your gold with the duplicate protection, and also to be able to, if you just start buying packs again because of the duplicate protection, you just get those. And also, it's just nice to be able to have a meta shakeup without having to rely on balance changes or, like, horrible stuff like Doom in the Tombs and the Rise of the Mechs event. So I think Galakrond's Awakening was, like, the best way that they did that. So I think that sticking to that works out. Okay, so that's the new set. I think that's everything. You get Silas Darkmoon for free if you log in, which is a 7-mana 4/4 battle cry. Choose a direction to rotate all minions. I don't know that this is really playable. I've heard some thoughts that maybe it's useful to deal with Librams or steal a minion. That could be relevant. But 7-mana 4/4 seems pretty expensive to do that. But maybe it's playable. It might work in a Control Priest where you're already doing that sort of thing. It'll feel bad if you're playing on an empty board, because you're going to have to give them a 7-mana 4/4. But I guess if you're trading them something better, then you don't really care. So it could be playable, but it's a little bit early to tell. But we did get an update also on the progression and the rewards. So we're getting achievements. We're going to get achievements both in terms of things that you're doing in-game, and also in terms of your collection. And there are things like collect 135 cards, but since we're getting the extra 35 cards in the middle of the expansion, you're not necessarily going to have to get all the legendaries in order to complete that achievement, which is nice. And then we're also getting we're getting two tracks of the in the reward system. There's like a reward track, and I forget what the name of the other track is. There's the free track and the reward track. Or no, the reward track is the name of the whole thing. There's a free track and a paid track. So the free track is going to give you extra packs as you go through. There's, if you get through enough, you're going to get a free legendary. I believe if you get through the whole thing, you'll get like the coin of the set, because there's going to be a styled coin that you can get that correlates to each expansion. And then in the paid track, you're going to have all that, plus you're going to earn additional 10% XP, which is going to be the new currency. We're not going to earn gold through quests directly. You're going to get gold as a result of the rewards, and you'll earn XP to gain to advance down the reward track. And buying that gives you a 10% XP boost, and then it will get you every. You can buy it at any time, and it'll give you everything up to that point, which is standard with these types of things. And you're going to be able to get a whole bunch of extra hero portraits. It looks like for this one, we're going to have the first female warrior, Anhilda. There's going to be three Jaina skins that get progressively cooler as you progress, and three new Thrall skins as well, along with the collectible coins. So, and there's going to be both daily and weekly quests, as well as legendary quests. So you don't necessarily need to worry about missing a quest. There's going to be four quest slots instead of three, so you'll be able to take a break a little bit longer if you need to. And they're going to give us a profile page where you can show off some of this stuff too, and have like a class page where, you know, normally what you have to do in order to find out how many wins you have on every class, you have to go through the ranked deck selection page. And now they're actually just going to have it all on one page that you can screenshot and show people. I'm sure that my numbers are pretty disgusting and probably reflect that I play this game way too much. But it'll show all your lifetime stats. So it's pretty cool. I think that achievements is the kind of thing that's long overdue. I'm glad that they're doing it. I think having some other things to, these other things to add is good. Like having other things to shoot for other than just legend is a good thing. We've had that complaint for a really long time. And so having something else to go for is good and will keep some other players, involved. So Matt at Arms is saying this all sounds like a technical debt nightmare, and I don't disagree. I mean, I'm the one who talks about technical debt all the time anyway, and it does sound like a technical debt nightmare, and I'm very worried. I'm worried about the first couple days after this. This is going live a few days before the new set. This is going live on November 12th, so they'll have a few days to kind of shake the cobwebs out and get some of the bugs out. But I would expect if you're logging in on the 12th, you may see some things happening weird. I would not be surprised if we have some things like quests not firing or quest rewards not being earned or that sort of thing. That could very well happen. Just be patient, because this seems like a really, really big change. But I think it's a positive change. I think that giving people more things to do in game is good. I think that when they changed the rank system and people were getting like the rewards for hitting a rank the first time, that was pretty well received. And I think that this will be a good way for casual players to be able to feel like they're progressing without just having to bang their head against ladder and have things that they can play for, which is important, right? Like, I think that this is something that's kind of common in these games now. And I think you kind of just need to have that, right? And so it's kind of bringing Hearthstone up to the same level as the rest of the other free-to-play games that have had this for a long time. All right, so that's that. And then we get into Hearthstone Duels. And again, if you have not watched the cinematic for this, it is about 60 seconds of nonstop chaos, complete with cats vomiting rainbows. Mr. Biggle, like a parade of Mr. Bigglesworths vomiting rainbows. And it seemed like it took me a little bit, because I didn't really like the way that they announced it. But I think the more I looked at it, the more I'm interested in it. It does seem like a little bit more of a casual game mode, though I'm sure that there are going to be some people who are going to try hard in it. So basically what Duels is a kind of like a dungeon run style. It's kind of like a cross between dungeon run and arena. So you're going to get to pick a hero power, and you get to pick a character. You're going to get to pick a hero power. For right now in early access, there's only one hero power per character. There will be more to choose from as things come by. there were things progress, especially with the new set coming out. And then you get to pick like a trinket or a treasure, whatever the hell they're calling it. You know, one of those special cards you get to put in. And then from there, you get to pick from a selection of sets that are... so right now, all that's allowed is Scholomance, Naxxramas, Karazhan, Classic, and Basic. And you build a 16-card starter deck. So it's 15 cards plus the treasure. So you get to build your own deck, and then you get to play against other people in that mode. You know, and you gradually earn more HP as you go through. You have 3 lives. Once you lose 3, you're out. And then you'll unlock more cards to add to your deck as you go. So it's kind of like a blend between a constructed format and something like Expeditions in Legend of Runeterra, where you're getting like packs of cards that go into that deck that kind of mesh with your, or that can mesh with your theme. It seems pretty cool. I'm going to be playing it a lot after the stream. I actually have not tried any yet because I've been playing Hades, because Hat is a horrible influence on me. But also because I wanted to kind of keep my impressions fresh for the stream. So I think that, the way that they first announced it, I wasn't super excited. And the more they started talking about it, it seemed more interesting. Like it's pretty cool to be able to kind of do another type of limited format, because like Arena's not a great limited format. Like it's just not, right? And so having another way that we can play like a limited format, but sort of like a blend of limited and constructed, is actually pretty cool. And I'm interested to see how this feels. I don't know if this will be my primary mode. It probably will not be my primary mode, but I could, you know, there is definitely a rating. You can, and an MMR, you can try hard this if you want to. And I could see this being something where, you know, if I'm tired of constructed, and the next month may leave us feeling very tired of constructed if they don't have any other significant balance changes. Just because this meta's kind of gotten stale, I could see, you know, maining that mode for a little while. You know, it's a nice change of pace, and it's just nice to do different things in the client. Like that's really all we're asking for. Like the problem with Hearthstone, it's not a problem, but the way Hearthstone is different than a paper card game is you can't make up your own rules. Like something like Commander and Magic, or like Two-Headed Giant, just came up of somebody saying, hey, let's play this different, right? And you got the paper cards, you can do whatever you want. With something like Hearthstone, they have to code it into the client. So giving us different ways to use our card collection is really cool. And I'm glad that they're doing it. They're also going to be adding a heroic mode. So heroic mode is going to effectively have arena rewards. So instead of just playing for MMR, you're actually playing for packs and stuff like that. If you've been buying the bundles, you probably have a bunch of arena tickets built up. I believe I read that they're going to transfer to duels as well. So if you're not really into arena anymore, this is a way that you can use them. I know I have like way more tickets than I probably should, just because like I'm kind of over arena, unfortunately. Like it was great for building up my collection, but it just, like, the format just does not feel great anymore, and it just hasn't changed. So I could see using those for, you know, heroic stuff, like on the first day to earn some more packs and stuff like that. Like that's a pretty cromulent way to use those tickets. Right now you cannot play with, you can't do a challenge, but hopefully they will figure out a way to do that. I'm sure if there's enough interest, they will do that the way that they figured out lobbies for Battlegrounds. It may take them a while. But I would imagine that, you know, if there is interest in some way of getting there to be a tournament format around this, I imagine they will figure out a way to do it in the client. It will probably take them a while. It's still early access and whatnot. So, I think that's it. I'm excited. I'm excited to try out duels. I am cautiously optimistic about the new set. I'm very worried about Yogg, but I'm hoping that Yogg is an outlier. You know, I'm hoping that that's going, I'm not going to get very, you know, that's not going to sour the format, or if they do something to it to make it not a thing in competitive play, because it looks like it could be. But some of the other things that were announced in this in this reveal are very interesting. I'm happy that we're getting it a month early because, you know, going, I don't know that I would want, you know, another month and a half of this meta. I think another couple of weeks is fine, especially if we have duels to distract us until then, and Battlegrounds too, if they pushed in some other changes that hopefully will be fixing the Battlegrounds format. So I'm cautiously optimistic, and you know, we'll have plenty to say more over the coming weeks, and then obviously the set review coming probably, but you know, middle of November we'll start doing that. I believe, I don't know if Andrew said so or not, he's going to be sitting this one out because if you haven't followed his, he and his wife are expecting twins in December. So that's kind of a lot. It's going to be a little bit of a different format, but we'll make it work. Andrew will be missed, but, we'll get there no matter what. All right. So, thanks as always for listening. Thanks for everybody who's been in the chat. We're going to play some duels now, but for those of you who are listening to the podcast version, you're not going to get to do that with us, but you could. You could come and follow the stream at twitch.tv/wickedgoodfm. I stream every Monday night and Thursday night, Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. So you can come by for that. You can find the links to all these, everything at offcurve.com. You can follow the show's Twitter account at offcurve. You can follow me on Twitter at wickedgood. If you're looking for, there's not really many Masters qualifiers, but we do have Masters Tour Madrid tomorrow, and I will be updating the statistics at offcurve.com/masterstour tomorrow morning. You're going to want to do that if you're interested in competitive Hearthstone. And Troll Dan asks really quickly, what flavor ice cream would you have right now if you had ice cream in the back of the car? It would be cherry Italian ices, because that is my current addiction. I'm off of ice cream. I'm on to cherry Italian ices. They are the best thing in the world. Don't at me. Anyway, so I think that's everything. Oh, and join the Discord. Discord.offcurve.com. We will be talking about all the new cards in excruciating detail, I'm sure. And there are a bunch of lovely and talented and wise and beautiful and handsome people in that Discord that we would be happy to have you. It's a very welcoming environment. And anyone who is not welcoming is, dealt with harshly. No, just kidding. it's a wonderful place. And I really do my best, and the mods do their best to keep it that way. And so we really would love to have you at discord.offcurve.com. But that is it for me. We're going to go play some duels. Good luck. Enjoy the new content, and be good to each other. We'll talk soon. Have a good one.